Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast for needlework artists. Yay.
Yay. Definitely art.
Yes. We have so much stuff going on. It's settled down. All the things we had going on settled down for, I think, 2 weeks. And then now we're back full tilt.
Of course.
Why not?
Sure. So, it makes life more interesting.
Yes. So that was fun last Wednesday with April and the needlework tools. Wow.
Those chatelaines were fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't seen that video last Wednesday, the tour at Gallery 76 in Sydney, all of the, Carrie was our person who took us through. Boy, she knew her history. Holy smokes. Oh.
Yes, she did.
You know, just right off the top of her head, just flew through that stuff. It was great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, those chatelaines, what do I know? I didn't know they were a thing, and I didn't know they were such a big thing. I didn't even know what they were. But that's amazing. And so, yeah, so women just had those on their waists all the time, it sounds like, right, to me.
Right, right, right. It was jewelry of the day.
Yeah.
You know, something you had to carry, you know, you had, because those things were much more precious. Interesting, fascinating history. And I thought, I've always been intrigued by them because I've seen them in museums.
Uh-huh.
So it was fun to go through with the gallery with her and have her explain which, because they don't always explain which each little item is.
Yeah.
They're just like, this is a chatelaine. And you're like, well, yeah, neat, but what's this little thing here? What did they do with that thing? Yeah. And the little glove menders.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
the
about.
The darning balls, yeah.
Yes, the yes. Tiny ones.
Yeah.
Those were interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that really brought back a memory for me because, yeah, that was my first experience with needle and thread was I had holes in my socks. And I remember my mother handing me thread, a needle, and a darning ball. And she showed me one time and said, you get holes in your socks, fix them. And you learn.
Yes. Yes.
And you learn to do it so you don't get a blister on your heel, too. So, yeah. Yeah. No, to have a darning ball, which really isn't a ball, for a glove was interesting. Right. Yeah.
Yes. How would you know what that was if you just looked at it at a museum? I mean, they, you know, or if you saw one, yeah. I mean, it didn't look like much to me.
No, it was like a Q-tip, basically.
Right.
A metal Q-tip.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, that was the thing that struck me with all of that is today, if we get holes in our gloves, we pitch them and get new ones. And,
right.
You know, and people fixed those things, you know, they kept repairing them and, yeah, we're so wasteful.
Right. And yeah. And of course there's a whole, mending movement going on now, people are starting to mend their clothing again, just to keep it out of landfills, the realization that it's wasteful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, yeah. For a little bit of thread and some effort, you know, a hole in a glove, fix it. Yeah.
Right.
Keep wearing it. Yep.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's the old thing. You know, people clothes till they were worn out and then take the cloth that's left and make quilts out of it and keep it going.
Right.
And, right. Yeah.
And then when it was too ragged for that, you made rags into it. And then when it was too bad for that, you gave it to... I think they called him the Rag and Bone Man and passed it on that way.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Anymore, we just into the landfill. It'll be all right.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. So that was really good. That was April knocked that one out of the park. That was a good one. Yep.
Right.
Tonight, we got quite a month going here. So tonight, we're joined by Kim Young, Sassy Jack's that Kim Young. And Kim has quite a collection of antique samplers. And I think in getting ready for this one, she's realized she's got a bigger collection than she thought she had. Oops.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's like going through your stash. Oh no, what am I doing?
Right. I have all these things, you know, and I do want you to want to stitch them all, but you know, how long will we live? But with collecting those samplers, that would be interesting too. I'm looking forward to seeing what she has in her collection.
She sent me. Do I have 20 of them? I think I do.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got to go through now. Pressure's on me to sort them out. But yeah, so tonight Kim is going to join us, and we'll put pictures up on the screen, and she's going to take us through some of the samplers that she owns, the antique samplers she owns, and so that'll be fun learning about those and learning why she bought them and so on and so forth. And then also she has one that will be available for free download. So you'll be able to, listeners tonight, you'll be able to download it, and then that'll be available for a week for free, and then your opportunity's gone. So she's made one. It's a very nice Scottish sampler that you'll be able to download the chart for free for a week, and then it'll be gone. So join us tonight to get that information, and then of course Kim has put together kits so that you can download it and then get a kit. I by kits multiple, I mean, I'm sure one cotton, one silk, or something like that.
Right.
So tonight, join us at 8 o'clock for the Stitch Hour, and we'll be talking to Kim and looking at antique samplers. So that should be a lot of fun. And then you'll get the link, it'll be on the screen to download the free sampler. Nothing like a free sampler.
Great.
So join us for that. And then, of course, next week now is Kathy Ray is back for the second of the Thread Talks. So join us for that too.
She's talking about fabric, correct?
Right, yeah.
Ground cloth.
Ground cloth and how it relates to the threads, yes. That
Excellent.
she talked about last month. So, yes. Bringing it all together.
Might need to go back and refresh my memory about her threads.
Yes. So next 2 Wednesdays will be busy, and then I got a feeling the Wednesday after that we'll just probably be the three of us. We'll take a break. Take a little
Just
break.
talking and stitching.
And then also free samplers, remember, at wetalkfiber.com/MJF1861 you can download the Mary Jane Fry 1861 sampler that Amanda Rowe has provided. And somebody wrote to me a couple days ago and said, does Amanda Rowe have any other samplers? And I said, well, in fact, she has provided another one for us that I'll be making available. I got to assemble pages and get it all organized. But that'll be coming up too. So be another free sampler coming up from Amanda Rowe. I don't know, next 2 or 3 weeks. Depends on how much breathing room I have. But you can get that one, MJF 1861, and then the one that Kim will offer tonight. So there's two free ones. So if you get those done, then you can worry about the next one from Amanda. How's that?
Right.
And Spring Hill, we're still cooking along on that. And
Yes.
we
I think
talked.
I almost finished another flower motif on that one. So I'm
Did
pretty
you?
excited.
Whew.
Yeah, well, it's a bit more to go, but at least I'm moving in the direction of finishing
I
another
see.
flower motif on
Okay.
that
Okay.
one.
Moving better than I am, that's for sure. That's for sure.
The
There's going to be
color's
a day.
gorgeous.
Going to be a day when I actually stitch again. I haven't stitched in, well, last Thursday was the first time I'd stitched in the better part of 2 weeks. No time. No time. This moving
No,
thing
no.
is.
And my husband would be locking me in a room and saying, "You need to go sit with your needle and thread, or one of us is going to be dead soon. I can tell." You're gonna be poking at me with your needle. Oh.
Yeah, I need to do
Toast it.
that.
But if people haven't gotten the Spring Hill, they can still join us because Gary's not that far along. I'm not that far along, to be honest.
No.
And you can still go get it from Kathy Ray.
Yep, you can. Yeah, you can catch up to me a good couple of nights of serious stitching. You're caught up to me, I guarantee you. Yeah. But look out, there's going to come a day when I can cut loose here. Yes. the moving part has sucked up a lot of time, but sanity soon to return on that, I think. Yeah. What else we got going on? Oh. May 2nd, first weekend in May, we are going to start, along with Kim at Sassy Jack's, a stitch along of Joanna Cabanoff's Take Wing design. It's an original sampler design. It is very cool. And
Yes.
yes, that yeah. So we're gonna be doing that. She's from Australia, and we'll have that Sunday. She'll be our guest, our podcast guest. So we'll do that, and then we'll be starting the stitch along on that same day, May 2nd, the Sunday. You'll want to be in it on that because it's a beautiful. She really stood out for me from the expo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her, because they're unique, her pieces, and it's got that. I like Quakers. I like those, how Quakers look, kind of the medallions. And she's got an interesting take, a very modern take on those.
Yeah.
And those are very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and plus she just was terrific to talk to. So that was fun. Yeah.
And then, and I liked her Sarah Handley sampler.
Yes.
1847, because it looked like, she says it looks like little chili peppers, and once I she, it does, it looks like little chili peppers in the border, and I'm thinking, oh, I gotta stitch that,
Beth was all
I gotta
over
stitch
that.
that.
Yep. Yeah, we each bought three of her charts. Yeah, we have three.
Because we don't have anything, we don't have anything else to stitch.
Nope. Gotta have them. Gotta have them. You could run out any day
Yep.
now.
Anytime,
Yeah.
anytime.
Never know. Never know. So that'll be May 2nd. And this is just kind of a sampler madness here lately because Sunday, our guests from Relics in Situ is their website and business. Relics in Situ. Aaron Harvey Moody and Christy Gordon Beatty join us Sunday. Oh, that was fun. Yeah,
They were
historic
fascinating.
needlework. Yeah. Oh.
Fascinating couple of ladies to talk to. History, we could have talked for hours.
Yes. Yeah, that one I literally had to cut off because yeah, there was another hour easy in there. Yeah. Yeah, all they historic needlework. And so they go to all these places, the V&A and you name it, and study historic needlework, and then they do lectures. You can actually sign up for a lecture with them. Like if you're a local chapter, you could have them give a lecture online or in person. They have they have a half dozen or eight different topics they can talk about.
Yes.
And they know their stuff too. Oof, yeah.
Right. And the nice thing about, like, if you're doing an online lecture, with the Zoom, it's on your screen. So they send the image to your screen. So, like, unless you're throwing it on your TV, wow, you get a really big image of whatever they're looking up at very close.
Yep.
I think that would be great to have an online lecture by them.
Yeah.
Gotta talk to my guild about that.
Yep. Yeah, that's yeah, they were and of course, now somebody suggested them to me and I should, once again, I have not written down the person's name, but to the lady who suggested them, thank you very much because we had a blast talking to them. We really did.
Yes.
And I think we'll have them back. They're really busy right now, but we'll have them back in a few months for a live show, I'm hoping too. And then we'll get to see some of the things that they are study or have studied, so that'll be good. Yeah, don't miss it Sunday. It'll be good. It'll be good. It was fun. Yeah. So that's other than that, we got nothing going on. We're sitting around on our hands, just watching the days go by.
Right. Right.
Bored
Well,
out of our minds.
unless of course you're joining Kim with her and the attic with their Botany Bay sampler.
Oh, that's right. We got to do that one too. Kim hasn't sent me the chart
Yep.
yet.
Oh, this is so sad. You need to look at that chart. This chart is right up our alley because it's not just cross stitch. It's got these freeform birds in it. It's got satin stitch. It's just interesting, the stitching on it in and of itself. You need it. You need this. You need this chart
I know.
because I already have it.
I thought Kim was sending it to me, but she has not sent it yet. So, we'll be bugging her about
Go.
that. Yeah. So this is Brendan and Karen Kirk, Linen and Threads. This is their sampler, and it's the sampler of the month for April at the Attic. And
Right.
was Kim doing a stitch along, or we just kind of
Yeah.
got caught?
No,
Okay.
Kim is doing a stitch along. If you go to her Facebook page, she mentioned that she was going to do that. Now, how formal of a stitch along it is, I don't know, but she said, "Yeah, let's stitch the sampler and let's get it out there." I like the name. That's one of the reasons. One of the things, like the Botany Bay. How could you not? Botany Bay, that interesting name of a sampler. But then it has the ships. It has those three people, and they're not sure if they're who they are or what they are. It has all sorts of little cute little motifs. And then I didn't realize it wasn't all just cross stitch until I started looking through the pattern. You've got freeform birds. I don't know what, is it a dragonfly or something that's odd? But it's satin stitch. It's freeform. I mean, like you literally have to decide for yourself where you're going to put your stitches. They provide a very nice chart and with close-up pictures of some of the motifs, but you are going to have to make a little bit of decision on your stitching, which I like doing that. So,
Yep. Well, I did not know. I thought it was all cross stitch, so now I gotta have it. Gotta have it.
yes,
Kim, send it. Send it.
didn't have anything to do.
Right, because yeah, I don't have a thing going on, but I gotta have that now. Yep. So that Brendan and Karen Kirk, that's their Linen Threads. That's one of their from their collection, Botany Bay. It's the sampler of the month from the Attic. And then Kim is doing a stitch along. So either place, you can get that, get all the threads you need, the linen, the whole shoot and match. And I think both of them are offering it on linen from Brendan and Karen. Now
I don't know. I know
I'm really
that
stretching things.
I know you cannot get the called for linen. Picture This Plus, they were having problems getting that linen, and some of the threads. So they're offering conversions for it because some of the threads are, again, the supply chain problem. Just that's all right. It's a fun chart just to look through.
Yeah, okay. I gotta have this.
Anyway.
I gotta have it. I'm feeling cheated. Kim, put one in the mail.
Gary.
Hurry up. Bill me. I'll pay. I know. Keep
You have his credit card number.
She's got it all. Yeah, and people, I'm sure a lot of people think that we get all this stuff for free. No, we buy it just like everybody else. Just,
All right. And this one, when I saw it, it's those ships and the name that I had to have it. And yeah.
You're in. Yeah, so but
I'm in.
if there's something other than cross stitch, then I'm really in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. There you go. Jump on it. Get all over that. And I will say for the Attic, if you are not downloading every month the Attic newsletter, you are missing out. Nothing but eye candy there. So even if you never buy a thing, which I dare you, but
Triple dare.
was it triple dog dare you to that? Yeah.
Yeah,
Um,
yeah.
but yeah, just going through that newsletter every month is a real visual treat. So do that. All right, that's enough money spending. Well, no, here's some more money spending. All right, so the EGA seminar. Now they're supposed to decide if it's going to be live or virtual by the end of May. But you asked the question, which was a fun question, if all the classes were open and many are full, what would you sign up for? You said you had a list. I have two.
How can you only two? See, and I didn't look at like times if they overlapped or anything like that. So,
No, that wasn't the question. The question is what, yeah.
right. So, what are your two?
Okay, my two are Judging Needlework and Appraising Needlework with Cheryl Christian.
Really?
Yeah. See, I would not.
That's an interesting choice.
Thank you.
Yeah. Why?
See,
Why would you take
well,
that
I'll
class?
tell you, and I have a very good reason for that. So I would, yeah, to go to a seminar, I don't need another project. Okay? But
True.
you raised the other question, the other question you had in the list of things that were on your coming out of your little head there. That's a frightening place I'm starting to learn. A frightening place.
Yes, very frightening. Very
Yeah.
frightening.
How do you improve your needlework?
Yes.
And, do you get it judged? How do you improve your needlework? How do you move from to the next level? And so that's why I would take those classes, because not because I want to be a judge, not because I want to appraise people's needlework to see how much it's worth for insurance. I don't care about any of that. But to me, those two courses would help me better understand what people look at when they're evaluating needlework and get a grasp of if that's what they look for, then that's what I should be putting into my work. Particularly the judging thing, but even the praising thing, what is the value? Is it well done? Is it, what are the parameters that make it valuable and worth, worth insuring for something? So,
Right.
yeah, so those that's what at a seminar that's what I would go and take. So I would walk away, to me, I walk away from that with a broader piece of knowledge than I would get from taking one or two classes. I don't know.
Yeah, and classes, some that I didn't write down were there's a design class, at least one or two design classes being offered, one by Catherine Jordan and the other by Kathy Reese. Those kind of cross my mind for the same reason. I don't really need any more projects, but I'd like to be able to design my own work. And there's a lot of fear there. So I'm wondering if I took some design classes with people like I love Kathy Reese's work. I love Catherine Jordan's work. They're both very different in their approach to needlework. Wow, I would learn a lot from taking those two classes.
Yeah. Well, it's that kind of fits into what's in my head then.
But
In a
those aren't the
way.
ones I wrote down.
No, but in a way, those fit into what I would try to accomplish, because designing would also help me better understand what makes good needlework.
Right,
Yeah.
right. And even just taking your work to that next level, how do you take mainly like a needlework pattern and say, okay, how can I change this and move it, still keep it my own, keep it the original design, but change it just enough to move it forward a little bit. Because like whoever did the solar flare, I did it on the white canvas that was called for, the ecru. I don't care, I don't even remember. It's a older piece, but someone did it on black canvas and that just totally changed it. It was just like totally eye-opening for the color change. And I hadn't thought of it. I just did it as charted.
Yeah.
And those simple little things of learning how to change a design, I don't
Yeah.
know, I think it makes you better at it. It makes you a better needlework
Yeah.
person.
Well, and that's what we're doing with Spring Hill, is looking for little areas to change.
Right.
And
Right.
what little I've done, I've really enjoyed, because it puts another challenge on it. So.
So you wouldn't, here's my other question. Now, neither Alison Cole nor Jane Nicholas is coming, neither of the Australians. But if they were coming, would you be tempted to take a class from them since they would be in the United States? So they were on my list.
Yeah, I'd go to Australia to take a class from Alison Cole, without a doubt. But if they were both there, yeah, I would take those classes. Yeah, stump work and gold work. Yeah, in a heartbeat. Yeah. Those two, Jenny Aiden Christie is another one. If she were teaching, I would take anything she's teaching because her work is amazing to me.
Right.
Yeah. And I'd say Natalie Dupuy, but I'm already taking a course. We're both taking. You're sucked into. We're already taking a course from Natalie. So,
yeah, we are taking a class from her.
Yeah, but Alison Cole in a heartbeat. I'd take her class. Yep, that'd be a blast.
It would be. What holds me back on her class and I think there's one the one I looked at too was the one by. Marsha Pape Gamalo, anyway, the Apple Blossom Time, which has got a bird at stump work. Both of those classes are advanced. The Jane Nicholas, the Alison Cole, they're advanced classes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm advanced enough in stump work to be able to take a class with them. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know, and that entered my mind when I was addressing that question, that entered my mind because the first thing you look down is the levels of classes. And so that was my first thing. All right. If I'm going to take any class, where am I going to start? And even though it might be over my head, I went right to advanced because, you know, I just figure you can figure it out with some effort. You can figure all of it out. So, you know, go for the gold, basically.
Well, and I know it's the only ANG seminar I've been to. I took a class with Gene Hilton, mm-hmm. and it was like advanced, intermediate, counted canvas work. And I was like, I'm not advanced intermediate. So I contacted them and I said, this is the work I've done. I can read a chart. I won't be a problem child if I can't do a stitch, you know, because they assume something. If you're an advanced, it says you're advanced, you take a class, it says advanced. You've got to remember most of the other people in the class then feel like they're confident enough in this technique that they're not going to need help on the basics.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you don't want to be that problem child who's like, well, I don't know how to do this. And then everyone's like, well, that was basic.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Can you show me how to thread a needle? Don't be that person.
Don't be that person. But stump work requires that, you know, it's assuming that you already know how to do a wire form because normally that's how you do it. You tack something down on cloth and then you stitch over it and then you cut that out and, you know, or build up somehow. And if you've never done any of that, it can be quite intimidating.
Yeah.
And I've only done a little bit of it. So it's like, would I feel confident enough to sit in an advanced class? Unless I was going to say, listen, I'm going to sit in here. I probably won't take a stitch, but I'm going to be taking lots of notes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think if you do that kind of thing, stump work is a classic, excellent example, but also gold work. If you jump into an advanced class at a seminar that you have to sign up for now that's happening in September, then I think in the ensuing months you get a book and you get yourself at least proficient with the basics so that you can benefit from the class. Rather, it's because see to me, and I, you know, this is probably going to get me in trouble, but it won't be the first time. But to go to spend the kind of money it takes to go to a seminar and take a beginner class, to me, you can pretty much figure that stuff out on your own. So do that and then take a more advanced class and build on your skills. But yeah, I mean, that's the way I'm hooked up. You know, not everybody's hooked up that way. So,
Yeah, and some of us like a little more hand holding.
yes.
So even the beginner, there is a beginner stump work class, and I thought, you know, if that one was offered, even just taking that to get more proficient in the few skills I have in stump work. Because I think Kay Stannis is actually teaching that one. I think it was originally Allison Cole, but I'm not sure. But taking a class from Kay Stannis wouldn't be bad. And that's the other thing. I think that's what's interesting about going to live classes, a real seminar, sitting in, you're going to learn so much just sitting underneath a teacher, these national teachers who know, who have such a wealth of knowledge, that's different than just taking like an online class where you get all the notes. They're going to teach, in a different way when they're teaching in person. And in the interaction of the other students too.
Right. I was going to add that. Yeah, isn't there the interaction with the other students in class, but then before and after is some plus there, I would think. I've never been to a seminar, but you know, I've been to that kind of event, and what happens in the lobbies and the after hours and so on is 9 times out of 10 as educational, if not more so, than what you would get in a course. You know, 'cause
And even if you're having, if you're stuck on a project, or so you need a little help and you're not at physically in class, you know, there's all these other very knowledgeable people around to help you with
right. They're roaming around everywhere. Just grab one.
it. Grab one, say, "Hey, I need help. Were you in my class? Can you help me with this?"
Okay, so what's on your list?
Well, the apple blossom time, and then the autumn
Okay, what
bisornu, and
technique
both of
is
those,
that? All right.
that's stump work. It's the stump work techniques, because
Okay.
I've done, I'm thinking maybe a couple of stump work pieces. Very, very basic. One of them, actually, I got disgusted with and threw it away. But it's been a long time, and I would like to get better at that. And this stump work is different than the casket stump work. This is much fine. I don't, the stump work for the casket class with Tricia Nguyen, it looks like this just folding fabrics and tacking things down to a certain degree. This is more needle painting. It's different. It's just a different stump work technique, and that's what intrigues me about them. And I did ask a friend who does go to seminar a lot, and I asked her, I said, "Well, would I be able to take this class?" And she was like, She's like, "No, I think you ought to take some, you know, you'd need a few beginner classes." But if you look at the autumn bisornu, it has like this, this 3D basket in it on the bisornu, and it's like, how did she make that? That's what makes me curious. How did she do that? You know, if I never finish the project, I'm more interested in the technique than I am in the actual, the little bisque or the little box that she makes. I'm more interested in how does she make these things, these little three-dimensional items.
Yeah, 'cause see, that's what I was going to ask you. When you take these courses, what do you want to take out of them? Do you want to take out a finished project or an expansion of knowledge? And so for you, it's the expansion of knowledge, and the project's kind of secondary.
And it's more of, yeah, the technique, learning the technique. So that way maybe I could take it and use it somewhere else.
Because see, to me, for a lot of those things, I wonder if there even has to be a project involved. Now, I realize that if there's a project design that's a new one that no one else has, it's only exclusive at a seminar, that, that's what gets people, that's marketing, that's what gets people excited. But say if Allison Cole was going to give a class on goldwork techniques, no project, and you bring in these different types of gold threads and pieces, and these needles, and a piece of ground cloth of one, some specified things on slate frame or whatever you put it on. That's your material for the class. You get it, you bring it, and then she's going to take those things and teach you different techniques. To me, that's easily as valuable a class, and I would pay equal money for that as I would for one with a project that I may or may not finish.
Right. And I think that's personality. So that sounds like a notebook class instead of so like a sampler. Little doing little samplers and taking notes on, and then. So didn't we interview someone who cut up their old, they would take classes and they cut those, the pieces up, and then made little, like a little notebook with them.
We did, but don't try to get me to remember who it was, but we did. Yes.
I think that was a great idea. Once I heard her say that, I thought, that's fabulous. If you're going to sell all these seminars, there's no way you can finish all these projects. I mean, unless, you know, you have a lot of stitching time, I guess, but
right,
it's just too many. And there's too many interesting techniques. But I know a lot of people who they just would never take a notebook class, because we were going to offer one through my guild, and I got this like shaking the head. No, they much rather have a project. They want to have a project they like and have a finished product at the end.
Hmm.
So it's a matter of personality on.
Yeah. And I wonder how, if you got 100 needle workers in a room, how that would shake out. Probably 80% would want a project.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd be in the 20%. I'd be more than happy to take a piece of cloth and here, show me how to do these things. I really don't care if I have another project, but I sure would like to know how to build a standalone leaf and stump work. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And here's another class that interests me, and it's by Catherine Jordan. It's Birch's Keepsake Book Box. And it's kind of a mixed media. She's got textile painting, pulled work. It's not so much the project itself that intrigues me. Although, I mean, I think it's a beautiful composition. It looks nice. I like everything about it. But what intrigues me is, how did she make those items? How did she do that?
Yeah.
I'm more interested in, and then to take that and use it somewhere else. So some friends and I, we have a small group. We call ourselves the Art Girls. And one of the gals took a photo, divided it up into four, and passed it out among us. And then we took our little section and made art with it. And I used cloth paper and stitching to make mine. But these trees, how she made her trees would have worked on that project if I had known how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure that out when I was working on it. So I just did some simple stitching.
Yeah.
But well, see, that's, so that piece there intrigues me for that reason. I don't know if I'd ever finish the project, but how she did it, I'd like to know.
Yeah. Well, see, that's just it. That's just it. You don't need the project. You just simply don't need the project. You need the techniques. Because then, now, as you're describing that you would take, if I knew how to make a tree like that, I would apply it over here. So then, now your mind starts to spin in terms of, well, I have this other project over here that's just, for instance, black work. But if I knew how to do some cut work, I could take that black work piece and I could start to see how I would do some drawn thread or some cut work or something like that that would add a new dimension to it. And so right. That's where I don't need the project. I need the technique. Show me the techniques and I can figure it. That's the other part. I can figure the techniques out from a book because that's how I learn. You know, everybody learns different. I learn, give me a book, I'll figure it out. But that only gets you so far. Then it's the expert who knows the little tricks that make it easier or give you a more effective stitch, a better looking stitch, and that's where the teacher comes in, is
Right.
yeah, and that's so that's the value, yeah.
Right. And how to perfect your technique or
Right.
make your design, again, move your design forward. If you're doing something on your own, you might say, you know, there's something wrong with this, but I don't have a clue what it is. And someone who's a designer will look at it and say, well, maybe this, your motifs are all real small. You need something large to give a give your eye a place to go, you know, your colors are off or something. And sometimes you can't figure that out on your own. You need somebody else to help point that stuff out for you. And that's where teachers would be invaluable, you know, being able, and that's what, and do love Katherine Jordan's work. She's, you know, her free styling sort of things. And that's why I think she's teaching one of the design classes. And I thought, yeah, that would be a, I like her work. I think I'd learn a lot if I took a design class from her.
And seminars have to be tough. Now you've done it, I haven't, but that's got to be tough to look at the catalog of things that's available and knowing you have to act pretty quick because they're going to fill up to decide what you want to do. That's got to be a bit of
Right.
a mental scramble, I would think.
Yes. And the only I've only been to a couple. The one I took in Albuquerque, I knew I was going to go. I knew they were listing these classes. I could go see family, so I knew I was going to attend them. So then it was just a matter of saying, well, which class would work for me? And the Jean Hilton was the one that was the most intriguing at the time. And but yeah, so these are like we said, a lot of these are full that we some of these are full that we talked about. Some of the Allison Cole and the Jane Nicholas classes, even though they've got somebody else teaching them, they are right now are currently full. But Terry Bay is teaching, and I'll tell you right now, we had her come and speak at our guild. And you want to improve your white work? Take a class from her. Take a live ink. She was just. I had people who were experts in white work who took the class and they were like, I learned so much taking this class. So, and that's what you want, you know, when you're setting up a workshop. So I would highly recommend taking a live class from her. She is fabulous teacher.
Why doesn't she get more recognition? I mean, I did a show with her a long time ago. Probably I should do another show with her. And
Yes.
any time you look at her work, it absolutely stops you in your tracks. I mean, her work is just gorgeous. It's creative, it's original, it's all the things. So why doesn't she get more recognition? Why isn't she in the conversation more often? I've never understood that because her work is outstanding. Her designs are outstanding. And based on what you're saying about her teaching ability, that's outstanding too, which is no surprise.
Right. And I don't know, like Margaret, until I saw that it had 16 to 20 hours of pre-work to do, which is puts the heart on her cookies. That would it's a box. She made a heart on her box. And I'm like, okay, how did you do that, Terry? And just to get better at white work, even if I never finish the piece, it would be one of those, all right, she's gonna help me with my technique a little bit on this. And I know she would.
We got to spread the word about Terry Bay more.
Yes.
Actually,
Yes.
I'm making a note. Got to get her to do a show, and then we got to spread the word more. She needs more
Right. And I
recognition.
have, right. And I know someone in our guild just finished one of her pieces, a white work Ukrainian piece. And it was just fabulous. I was like, oh, that is so beautiful. Why didn't I sign up for that class? I was like, oh, because I don't have time for another class.
that would be a time. It's kind of a problem.
Yes.
Okay, Terry Bay, we got to get her in the conversation more. Just has to. She needs
Yes.
more credit. Yep. And white work, what is it about white work? Now, I mean, I love white work, and I probably should, I should do more of it. I love looking at it. It's, no color, but it has an elegance to it. I just love looking at it and seeing what people can do. It just
Yes.
really, there's something about that.
I think it's I do think it's the elegance of it. I think the and it really normally it's some simple stitches that if you're like the hardanger, you're doing those cluster box, you're doing dove's eye, some sort of filling stitch, maybe some eyelets, satin stitches. But it's gorgeous when it's stitched up. It just, and I think it looks to me when you finish a piece or you have a piece that's finished, it looks classy anywhere. I have a friend that has some in her home that her mother, I think it was her mother, her grandmother did. And she, it's kind of a country home, but it looks elegant. And then I've seen it in other, like more formal settings that it still looks, it just looks lovely no matter where you place it. And I think that's what's appealing to, maybe to women who are decorating, who look at a piece and they can use it for something, for that. But it just looks, so it looks elegant no matter where you use it or where you have it. And then the samplers too, that have white work at the bottom. I'm always drawn to them. They have the color on the top, the white work on the bottom. And I'm like, oh, I just love that.
And that's a kind of stitching that you immediately start to see uses other than hanging on a wall. Yeah, that's where there's a real appeal there. Though I always think, you make a nice white hardanger or whatever drawn thread piece, whatever technique you use, and then put a vase full of flowers on top of that. And it's like, oh, don't drip on it.
No trip, no flowers, no water. No. Oh, yeah.
But and it really isn't the white work. For the most part, I mean, of course, anything is difficult to do well, but to do it and have it be respectable is not difficult to the point where sometimes it gets fairly monotonous. I mean, after you make the fifth dove eye, I got it. Just.
But to get the effect you want, it needs a lot of them, it seems like. You can't, or if you're doing like, because if you're removing the threads, you're making the lacy bits, that's, I think, cutting it so that you get close enough so you don't have any fuzz sticking out, and then getting the white work where you have to rebuild the stitching up again. Have you ever done any of that?
We're
Where
done.
you were, okay, so like you've cut your threads all out, and then you go back and you start adding threads back in. Okay.
That's fun to a point.
That's fun. Yes. But to get those little, whatever stitches you're adding it back in a nice tight tension, that can be fun too. And running out of thread in the middle of
Yeah,
it.
it'll make you plan your thread lengths. Quit while you're ahead and start a new one.
You learn that really quickly, really quickly.
But like
But
in hardanger, like when you're weaving bars and stuff, obviously there's a challenge to do it right. But after a while, it's like, oh, how many more of these? So I think you and you're right to have that look and give that lacy look. You have to have a ton of them. And so you have to be willing to do that. But then there's also the benefit of, put your feet up, turn on the TV, and just sit there and do them. And yeah,
Yeah, because it's
meditative.
kind of mindless. Yeah.
Just
Which is nice.
watch your thread lengths. Because if you're out in the middle of no man's land and you run out of thread, that's not a good thing. No.
No. And then it's like, okay, where can I bury this baby? And,
Right.
or am I going to have to rip out all that I just did, which is,
Yeah.
I don't even have to think about
Yep.
that. Yeah.
But
Well,
it's
and I'm still waiting for my book to come in from Kim, my book, the Hardanger book.
Oh, let's all beat on Kim. Like she can't, like she isn't shipping stuff as fast as she can, but
I'm
let's beat
teasing.
on her. Yeah.
No, I mean, there's no way. I know it's being shipped so from across the sea, so I'm not worried about it. I'm just teasing her. But that book has the lampshade, I believe, in it, that's Hardanger
Yes.
and whitewort.
Yep.
And to me, that's intriguing because here you have something that's very practical, a lampshade, cover. But it's beautiful. I don't know. I'm looking forward to that and looking at that and seeing if I could actually make that.
Oh, you
But
could.
yeah.
You could. Yeah. It's not something I would do, but yeah, you could make it. She's got a couple table runners in that book that to me, a nice wood table with a Hardanger table runner on it. Oh, man. Nothing quite like it, I don't think. Yeah. Yeah.
And then have you played with the linen threads yet?
No, I have not. No. I've been working on trying to find a house to move to, so I have not.
I didn't even know if you'd just taken a couple stitches with them.
No.
I enjoyed those. They're fun to stitch with. And
Yeah.
so along with the white work, that using those linen threads, was it? Oh no. Yvette Stanton said, when you iron them, was it she that said that the linen gets kind of shiny,
Yes.
the linen thread?
Yes.
And I think that adds a whole nother dimension now too, because when we do Hardanger, we normally use the pearl cotton,
Right.
which is nice. But if you got the linen, that's going to add a different shine to it,
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
guess. I'm kind
Certainly a
of.
different texture, yes.
Yes. So.
No, I've not played. I have to keep my showings are over because we sold the house, but everything had to be put away, and I got so much stuff boxed up, and it just yeah, it's packing and
No.
yeah,
Yuck.
yuck.
No.
Yep.
No.
All right,
No.
we need to be done.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we need to be done. So
Well,
join us
then we can.
tonight. Join us tonight.
Yes.
Kim will be with us, so that'll be good. To see antique samplers, and there'll be a free download. So if you want a free sampler, a really good one, join us for that. And let's see what else we
Get to look
got.
at all of Kim's antique samples. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. All the ones.
Sunday.
Yeah, one room worth. Yeah. Yeah, I can see her going through her head. Uh-oh. I got a problem. Yep. Oops. I want to throw in one. This is out of left field. Completely out of left field, but I want to throw in a little something here. So I've talked before that I use an iPad Pro and I use Notability for making notes. And it's very handy. And so everything stays and it's all electronic and it's all wonderful. And so when you do this stuff, then the question is, and this is completely left field, but I think it's instructional. The question is, do I buy the Apple Pencil? Okay. And there is an alternative that Logitech makes. They make an alternative pencil, okay? And it's cheaper because it's not Apple. So
Right.
I saved money. And save money is in quotes. I bought the Logitech pencil. I am now the proud owner of the Logitech pencil and the Apple pencil.
Oh.
Should have bought the
It
Apple
did the
pencil.
Logitech pencil. It, the Logitech pencil didn't work for you, or
It works, and it works just fine. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. There was something about it that was driving me nuts. And that something was what I was pretty sure it was, is that you have to charge it. You have to actually plug it in to charge it, okay? Which, if you remember to do that, that's fine. But the battery still drains on its own. And the Apple Pencil just magnet charges on the iPad Pro, okay? So it's always charged. The thing I did not realize till I bought the Apple Pencil, because what happened was I had a couple of podcasts we were doing, and I make notes during the podcast, like if somebody coughs or something, at what time point it was. And two in a row, my Logitech Pencil was, the battery was dead. Okay? And I don't use paper. I used to use paper. I used to have paper everywhere. Now I don't. The battery is dead. Oh, man, I forgot to charge it. No, I did charge it, but it was a week ago, and it had drained down. But what I really noticed when I bought the Apple Pencil, because I got frustrated, so I bought the Apple Pencil. The real difference is when you pick up the Apple Pencil, you use it. The Logitech one, there's a switch that you have to turn on to use it. And then you have to push it to see if it's on, because there's no indicator that it's on. So you have to push the button to see if the light flashes on to tell you it's on. So you can't tell if it's on and you forgot to turn it off. Blah, 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 blah. So the result was I was having to spend an awful, and this is so Apple. The result was I was having to spend so much time managing the Logitech pencil that it was just a pain. And so just in a moment of frustration, I bought an Apple pencil, and now it's like a pen where you just pick it up and you start writing with it. So I saved money, but I actually spent too much. But it's just so it's
Just get the apple.
right.
Just get what goes with it.
But and it's so instructional for so many things, like all like needlework things. It might be a little bit more, but you probably won't regret it, and get what you pay for. But yeah, that was one. And so then I realized, okay, this is why. Now the whole thing works, the whole system works. And but yeah,
And
if
you're
pe
happy.
yeah, it's perfect. It's just it behaves right. So, but yeah, and I would recommend, if people have a one of the iPads you can write on, get Notability, because you can make all kinds of little notebooks and it really is very, very effective way of keeping track of your needlework things. And you can get the Teresa Little Stitcher from England. She has that project package that she put together, calendar and keeping track of all your projects and all your things. It's really wonderfully done. And you can put that right into Notability and use that too. And so if you're looking for an electronic solution, and you make a lot of notes and keep track of a lot of things, an iPad with Notability and the Apple Pencil is pretty effective. I mean, I got it. I use it as much for doing these podcasts as I do for work, the magazine work. I make all my notes in there. If I'm talking to somebody or planning something out, all the notes go in there. Like keeping track of what articles I'm going to use in a magazine and an issue. That's all in there. And then I can also get that on my phone. So if I'm traveling and need to know something, I can look it up there. Yeah, it really works well. Really well, it does. I'm sure there's a Microsoft equivalent, but
And I know my son set me up on something. I was trying to poke around on my tablet to see what it's actually called, but I have no clue because, I just use whatever he put in there for me. He says, "Do this, Mom." I'm like, "Okay." And it works for me, so.
Yeah, there's just a lot to be said for doing all your needlework stuff electronically and that it's all in one spot. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. And so many people, full coverage people, and a lot of people use one app or another to put their charts in and mark them off. That's very effective too. There's a lot of options with electronic things these days that I think really simplify and clean up. I think they do.
make it a lot easier. Make it a, and the nice thing too, we're taking classes now, and some of the there's things to download for our classes
Right.
or whatever. You can really blow up the images on your tablet and look at them closer,
Right.
if need be, versus a paper copy where it's only so close you can get it to your face and it's still not getting any bigger.
Yeah, no, and that's so true. And then with things like Notability, yeah, you can download those things. You can drop them into a folder for that project, and then you can add your own pages in. You can annotate them, draw on them, annotate them, make notes right on them. And yeah, there's just so many ways that it really is positive. And
And even just like one of the classes, it has a lot of reading to do, and I have my tablet with me. I was donating platelets, and I'm like, okay, I need to read this information. So I sat there, and I could. It was there. It was on my tablet. It was downloaded. All I had to do was pull it up and start reading.
yeah.
I didn't. I forgot to. I forgot how to take notes on it. I was just trying, but could be my small brain, but yeah, that was that is nice. That is nice about, this electronic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is working. As people get more familiar with electronics through Zoom classes and that kind of thing, take a look at, especially if you already own a tablet, especially one that you can write on, take a look at some of these apps and some of the technology, because it really is helpful. It keeps everything in one place. You don't have to have folders. You don't have a piece of paper that's downstairs when you're upstairs. And cloud storage is cheap and or free in large amounts, so you can store stuff there and then get it anywhere you want. Yeah, there's just some real benefits to it. And yeah, there's some upfront expenditure, but you take that and spread it out over 4 or 5 years, and it's really not that bad for the benefit that you get out of it. Yeah.
And it's a lot better than all the papers all around.
Right. Yep.
You doing moving, you knew that. It's like, oh, all these papers I've got to clean up.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was a big part of cleaning up my needlework, was all the flotsam and jetsam that accumulate amongst the things you want to keep. And I just there was just a ton of stuff I just threw away. That what why is this even here? And why are you keeping this label? And yeah, it's just a whole bunch of that kind of stuff, and all of it would go away. And that's the other thing with electronic things, tablets and phones and keeping your stuff, is taking pictures. Take pictures like Notability. You take a picture, you drop it right into your notes, and there it is. And copy a picture out of something that reminds you, Pinterest or Pinterest. But copy it, copy it. Yeah, don't do it. Yuck. Just copy a picture, paste it in, make some notes on it, and there, and it's all right there in one spot. Yeah. So,
Much easier.
all right, that was the electronic section of our podcast.
Our little, yes.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah. There's just so much that can be done. It really, the learning curve is not that tough anymore. So, yes. But do not get the Logitech pencil. Get the Apple pencil. You will not regret it. It works. All right. Now that's enough. Join us tonight, 8
All
o'clock.
right.
Kim Young. Thanks for listening.
Bye.